We're turning back again to Nehemiah chapter 8, please, continuing on in our studies through this chapter and through this book. But before we come to God's word, can we just still our hearts again, please, in a word of prayer? And let's ask for the Lord to reveal himself to us afresh and for the word of God to be made alive in all of our hearts. Let's pray. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come once again to the scriptures of truth. And we thank thee, Lord, for the living word of God that we have today. We praise thee, Lord, that this word reveals to us our sin. We thank thee, Lord, it reveals to us just how lost we were by nature. But Lord, we thank thee as well that it reveals to us a Savior, one who died on the cross to save us from our sin. And our Father, today we pray, would you be pleased to reveal thyself to us afresh. We ask, O God, for the help of the Holy Spirit, as we would seek to look into the word of God, as we would be instructed, Lord, we pray, that thy word will come with comfort, thy word will come with challenge to all of our hearts. We ask, O Lord, that as we continue in our studies through this chapter and through this book, we pray, O Lord, that you be pleased to speak and to instruct. So hear and answer prayer to us today, for us we ask of thee, Lord, we pray for the help of heaven, and the help of the Spirit to preach and to hear. And Lord, through it all, glorify thy great name, for we pray this in the name of Christ and for his honour alone. Amen. Amen. So far in our studies, in this chapter 8, in this great revival of biblical and scriptural preaching that took place here in Jerusalem, we have seen some very powerful and some very pertinent characteristics that marked out this time as being a real returning back to the Word of God. We notice some foundational truths, that this was a time when there was a renewed belief in the power and in the authority of the Word of God. But it was also a time when people's hearts were renewed by the Spirit of God, and that they fell in love with the Word of God and with the preaching of God's law. Here were a people who loved the Scriptures. Here were a people, as we have noticed in weeks gone by, who eagerly and enthusiastically gathered around the Word of God to hear it, first of all being read, and then to hear it being expounded. And as they listened to the word began to have an impact upon their hearts and upon their lives. The word of God, we noticed the last time, most certainly was a two-edged sword to these people, because as they heard the word, their hearts were affected. And they began to weep under the word of God. They saw their sin, they saw their failures, they saw how that they had left off the Lord, they saw how that they had stood condemned because of sin, and their hearts were melted to tears, and their eyes became a fountain of tears because of the impact that the Word of God really had upon them. That brokenness then, as we noticed as well, was remedied by a reminder that came to the people from the same law that broke them, that there was one who could bless them through that same word. There was one who had kept the law on their behalf. There was a reminder of the Savior, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who kept the law perfectly on our behalf. The law, as we notice, showed them their sin. But the law also pointed them to Christ, the only Savior from their sin. So there was a love for the Word of God. Then there was a lamentation because of the Word of God. We noticed that the last time there was a weeping. But today we want to go on and notice something more now. Because now, after the love and after the lamentation, now there was a longing after the same word. Because in the rest of this chapter, from the verse 13 onwards, we left off at verse 12 the last time a few weeks back. But from verse 13 onwards, now there is a hunger and a longing after the Word of God. And you see, folks, that is the effect that the Word of God ought to have upon us. Whenever we see just how hopeless we are through the Word, when the Word reveals to us our sin, then the Word reveals to us our Savior, then there ought to be a hungering and a longing with an even greater determination in the past to know more and to see more in the Word of God. And as we'll see today and in the weeks that lie ahead, this hunger, this longing after the Word of God, it was not just some one-hit wonder. It was not just some fleeting fancy, but it was a lasting love and hunger after the Word of God. As we have pointed out in the past, this is one thing that we as the people of God need more than anything else. A desire and an appetite for God's holy Word, such as is displayed here in Nehemiah chapter 8. Therefore, we want to further through this chapter today and see just how the Word of God impacts the lives of these people as we see this longing after the Scriptures. The first thing I want you to see with me in verse number 13 is the delight. The delight that they had in the Scriptures. If you look there in verse 13, it says, "And on the second day." That little phrase is very important there. It says, "on the second day." Remember, these people had already stood the day before for hours, listening to the Word of God from sunrise to the noonday. They stood for hours for one day, listening to the Word of God. But they came back another day. Such was their delight in the Scriptures. They wanted to hear the Word of God again and again. As we said, this was not a one-hit wonder for these people. They didn't just gather in the street and long after the Word of God and then that was it. What we have already noticed in Nehemiah chapter 8 was only the beginning of great things that was going to happen in the lives of these people. They came one day, but they came back another day, a second day, to hear the Word of God again. Such was their delight and such was their hunger and their longing after the Word of God. You see, there was a change now. The Word of God affected them so much that they longed after it. They had tasted of the sweetness of the honey of God's Word and they desired more of it. They desire to be fed by the Word of God. Such was the sweetness of God's Word that they wanted more and more. They were on now a diet of divine truth. And they wanted to become fat on the Word of God. Folks, this is an obesity problem that we could all do with and will do us no harm. To be fed on the Word of God. A daily diet of God's holy Word. These people tasted and they continued to taste because on the second day they came back. There is, in verse 162 of that great Psalm 119, something very similar, words very similar, where the psalmist is able to say, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." That's what's happening here. These people have found great spoil in the Word of God. They loved the Word of God so much that they came back again and again to hear what God would have to say to them. As Jeremiah says, "Thy words were found and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." These were people who found the Word of God, as we'll go on to see. They loved the Word of God. They longed after the Word of God. But notice not only the people, but in verse 13 we see as well the leaders, the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests, the Levites. And they all came on to Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. You see, this was a revival that affected not only the people, but right to the very heart of the religious establishment of the day. You see, the religious leaders of the day caught the flame of this revival, and they realized their own need to be taught. Remember, these were people who were teaching themselves. But such was the impact of the Word of God. They realized that they needed to understand the words of the law. If you have a margin in your Bible there, it'll also say that they might instruct in the words of the law, that they might be taught. They came to Ezra to be taught of God. You see, I believe that these leaders, these religious leaders, they realized in their actions here in verse 13, they were only going through motions. They were only going through rituals. They had nothing of substance. But what a turnaround. What a change. And the very religious establishment of the day came and hungered after the word of God as well. What a difference it would make. What a difference it would make in our own land today if those who hold religious office, who would see just the errors of their own way and see that their homilies and their pleasing addresses and their unconvincing words are not enough to satisfy the people. They, like the people, need the Word of God. They, like the people, need to sit under the Word of God and need to be fed on the Word of God. They need to have such a devotion and dedication to the Word of God. Folks, today there are people across our province today and even across this city, let's not go any further than our own city, sitting in old, dead, formal churches. And all they're doing is going through motions and going through rituals and having a form of religion, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Here was a change that took the very religious establishment and shook it to its very core. That's the effect that the Word of God has. And that's the effect that we long for the Word of God to have on our day, in our generation. People, rather than teaching their fairy tales and their having their fancy epilogues at the end of a service, that they would come and desire after the true, undiluted Word of God. This was a true revival of religion. It affected the people, we've seen that already. But here in verse 13 we see that it affected the religious leaders of the day. Impacted their lives. And as we have pointed out in the past, there is only one book that's going to change our country and going to change our province, and it is the book of God. There is only one word that's going to change the hearts and the lives of the people, and it's the Word of God. The ordinary people in the street, the religious men in high office, they all now desired after the Word of God. Notice those words at the end of verse 13 where it says, even to understand the words of the law. I believe what's happening there in verse 13 is that these religious leaders have looked on and saw the impact that the Word of God had on the people. They saw the people weeping over the Word of God. They saw the people broken over the Word of God, and they realized there's something real about this. They wanted to know more. They wanted to inquire after it. What a domino effect that the Word had. The Word had an effect on the people, and it was obvious. And through that effect, others were drawn to the Word of God as well. What a challenge. What a challenge. Because when the Word of God affects us as it should, others will see it. When we live our lives according to the Word of God as we should, others will see it. When we delight in the Word of God as we must, others will want to delight in it as well. Others will see it. We read as well in Psalm 119, the psalmist says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." That could be said of these people here in Nehemiah chapter 8. They loved the Word of God. And through their love of the Word of God, others were drawn to love the Scriptures as well. Do we really love God's Word? Do we really live our lives according to the law of God and to the Word of God? Do we really, truly regulate our lives according to this book? Sadly, there are parts of the Church of Jesus Christ today, and they seem to be more content to be regulated by popular opinion. Seem to be more regulated by selfish interests. Seem to be more taken up with their own beliefs and their own notions rather than convictions based on the Word of God. There's only one thing that's going to turn our country around today. We've said this in the past. It's a conviction that the Word of God and what the Word of God says is true. We need to fall in love afresh with the Scriptures. We need to love the Scriptures all the more. And if that goes, as it will go, against popular opinion, and as the Word of God will go against the notions and the beliefs of this age, so be it. Let us be faithful to the Word of God. These people had a delight in the Scriptures. May God give us, as His people today, in our day and generation, a greater delight in the Word of God. But there's not only the delight that they had in the Scriptures, but I want you to see further with me here in verse now number 14, the discovery that they made in the Scriptures. The discovery that they made in the Scriptures. Because in verse 14 we read this, "And they found written in the law." They found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses. What happened here is that they discovered truth. They found truth written in the Word of God. I believe that as you read through the words of verse 14, that you will see that there was an earnest desire to understand and to appreciate what the law of God was. There was a searching of the Word of God. There was a digging up of the Word of God. And they discovered the truth. We will go on in the next point to see actually what it was that they did discover. But I want you to focus for these few moments on the fact is that they discovered something in the Word of God. They found truth written in the Word of God. Remember the words at the end of verse 13. They came to understand the words of the law. And when they came with that mind, they discovered. They came with a desire to find out, what is God saying to me? What does the Word of God have to say to me? They came with a purpose to God's Word. And that purpose was, what would God have to say to me? What does the Word of God mean to me personally? They didn't come to the Word of God simply out of a mere duty. They came to the Word of God, delighting in the Word of God. They came, as we notice at the end of verse 13, to understand the Word of God. They came seeking to discover and to understand truth from God's Word. This was not just a mere glancing at the Word of God. This was not just a mere reading and then moving on. This was a real earnest desire to understand, to appreciate. What does God's Word say to me? Dear believer today, never forget God's Word is a living Word. God's Word speaks. God's Word is alive. From Genesis through to Revelation, every word is the Word of the living God, and that Word still lives today. God's book is not some dusty, dead, dry book, but rather it is a living, speaking book. Here is a perfect example of it in Nehemiah 8, verse 14. The people, as they looked into the Word of God, they discovered truths in the Word of God, and we'll look at the content of those truths in a moment. But I repeat again, because we need to remind ourselves always of this truth, that there are truths to be found in God's Word. Of course, this whole subject deals with the study of the Scriptures. It involves learning from the Scriptures. We're not simply to read the Word of God. Yes, that's essential. But we must also study the Word of God. And that involves time. You say, but I have no intention of being a minister or a missionary. You may not have. But there is a responsibility laid upon every believer today that we all study the Word of God for ourselves. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. The Church of Rome will keep their people in darkness and tell the people what to believe. The Word of God. The Word of God teaches us and instructs us all individually. You see, for us to get the full blessing personally out of the Word of God, yes, we must read the Word of God, but we must study the Word of God. Search out the Scriptures. You see, there is a duty. There is a duty laid upon all of us to study the Word of God. These people here in Jerusalem, they've read the Word, and they've studied the Word. And in verse 14, we find that they found in the Word. The word found there in verse 14, it means to bring out. It means to bring forth. It implies and it teaches that there was truth, but they had to search that out. You think of someone who's been informed that there's a particular treasure placed in a particular place. And if they're going to get that treasure, they have to go to that place. And they have to dig up in that very spot where the treasure is. And for them to enjoy it, they have to work at it. You see, folks, in the Word of God, there are treasures rich and new every day for us. But we have to search them out. We have to seek them. We have to work at it. It all takes time. To study the Word of God. I've spoken on the subject of studying the Bible in the past. But let me remind you just of a few simple ways that we can all study the Scriptures. First of all, we can study the Scriptures prayerfully. You take the Word of God and you pray over the Word of God. Lord, by the help of the Spirit, reveal what you have to say to me. Not only to study the Scriptures prayerfully, but we're also to study the Scriptures carefully. Take time. Discover what the Word of God has to say. We're also to study the Scriptures humbly. to find out what God would have to say to our souls, use the searchlight of Scripture. Prayerfully, carefully, humbly, study the Word of God. But we're also to study the Word of God instructively. And by that I mean that there are commentaries we can use. There are men of God who in the past have been used of God to aid us in our understanding. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as they're the right commentaries, of course. You use Matthew Henry, you'll never go wrong. And if you want to go further, well, you go further. Use a concordance, Strong's or Young's concordance. Use these things to help you and to aid you in your study. Also, we are to study the Bible systematically. Book by book, chapter by chapter. And also to study the Bible purposefully. Read the Bible not just out of a mere sense of duty, but read the Bible with a purpose. What do you have to say to me, dear Lord, today? We'll see that in a moment. Because God has got something to say to us every day. And the only place where we will find what God has to say to us will be in the Word of God. God will not speak to you walking down some street with some flash of lightning. Those days are past. God speaks to you and to me today through His Word, solely, exclusively. These people found written in the law. They discovered. They understood. I wonder what you discovered in the Bible this week. What truths, what gems, what nuggets of gold, what words of worth did we discover in the Scriptures of truth this week? A word to comfort. And there are many words of comfort in God's Word. Words of challenge, and there are many words of challenge in the Word of God. Did we discover them this week? Did we search them out? Here were a people who longed after the Word of God. They were hungry and they wanted to be fed on the Word of God. They needed a daily diet of God's Word and they were not disappointed. You go without food for any length of time, you'll soon become weak and it'll soon be evident. And you go without the diet, daily diet of the Word of God, you too will grow weak in your Christian life. And your Christian experience. You go without feeding yourself in God's Word, without searching and studying, digging and discovering truth in God's Word, then you will grow weak spiritually. And that is exactly where old Satan wants you to be. Because you show me one who is backslidden far from God, I'll show you one who has stopped reading and studying, seeking to understand God's Word. That's how vital the Word of God is to our lives and to our souls. The discovery that they made in the Scriptures. The delight that they had in the Scriptures. But I want you to see further here with me now the duty that they found in the Scriptures. Verse 14 says, they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. You see, whenever we have a delight in the Word of God, whenever we have a desire to search it out and to seek it and to live our lives according to the Scriptures, we will soon realize that there is a duty. A duty laid upon us in the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God is the most authoritative source of duty for the believer. Let me say that again. The Word of God, the Bible, is the most and the only authoritative source of duty for the child of God. If other laws conflict with the law of God, then other laws are to be set aside. If other notions and opinions conflict with the word of God, then other notions and opinions are to be laid aside. They're only of the flesh. It's God's word. Not the word of the state. Not the word of authorities. Not the word of governments. But God's word is the final, supreme authority in all matters. The third question in the shorter catechism: what do the scriptures principally teach? Listen to the answer. The scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. You see the twofold effect? That's why we love the shorter catechism. Those who are being taught the shorter catechism don't see it as a chore. See it as a delight. If you never learned the shorter catechism, get one. What a compendium of truth that is. The scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God. That's doctrine. But then, what duty God requires of man? That's duty. Doctrine and duty. It always goes hand in hand in the scriptures. Biblical pattern is always the same. Doctrine. What the Bible teaches. And then duty. And that's what's happening there in verse 14. They found written. They found the teachings of the Word of God, and then they realized there was a duty laid upon them. And look at the duty they discovered in verse 14. The children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. As they reviewed and they searched the scriptures, they found a commandment given concerning the feast of the booths or the feast of the tabernacles. And this was to be held for 7 days, and it was a remembrance of how the Lord was good to the children of Israel in the past during their wanderings in the wilderness. It was to remind them of the goodness and the provision of Almighty God as their fathers wandered through the wilderness. It reminded them of God's care and God's instruction to the people. And this feast, as we read in verse 15, it was to be proclaimed in the cities. These temporary dwellings or booths, and we'll go on and see more of it next week in the will of the Lord, they were to be erected in commemoration of how good and gracious God had been to the people in the past, and how that even in spite of their grumbling and their complaining, and the children of Israel were a people given to grumbling and complaining. How that in spite of it, yet God was good. It was an occasion to remember the redemption that was wrought by God. It was an opportunity to remember the deliverance from bondage. Such a commemoration had been set aside. We read that in verse number 17. It had been neglected. But now they realized it shouldn't have been neglected. There was a duty laid upon them to commemorate what God had done in the past. Folks, time is gone, but I want you to notice something here before we leave this. I want you to notice something about this duty, and we'll see more of it next week in the will of God. More about this duty that they discovered. In the end of verse 14, it says that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. This was the seventh month they were in. We find that in the opening verses of Nehemiah chapter 8. At the very time that they were to commemorate this feast, that was the very time they discovered its reality and its truth. They discovered truth and duty at the right time. What does that say to us? It says to us that when we search and when we study the Word of God, the very Word that we need to hear right at that very time, God will give it to us. The very Word that you need right now, to help you in your living for God. Whatever circumstance you find yourself right in now, the very word that you need will be found as you read systematically through the Word of God. The very promise that you need, the instruction that you need, the very word that you need will be found in God's Word. And it came at the right time. These Israelites diligently searched the Scriptures and they discovered exactly what they needed, and they discovered it exactly at the right time they needed it. That's why in our reading and in our studying there ought to be discipline, determination, and diligence to search out the Scriptures daily. As the people of Israel read the law, as they heard the law, as they studied the law, they were reminded of the Lord's goodness in the past. It could be so easy to forget all that God has done for them. And at times it is so easy to forget all of the goodness of God to us in the past, and all we see are the present circumstances, and we forget what God has done for us in the past. But the Lord came just at the right time with that very right word, that they might be reminded of the Lord's goodness and also of the duty that lay upon them to commemorate and to celebrate the goodness of God. You see, folks, today the Word of God does lay claim upon our lives. God's holy Word does lay upon us a duty as believers. Sad to say, there are some who say they're saved and yet they believe they can live as they please. And they say that the Bible has no claim upon their lives. I'm saved and that's it, I can live as I please. Well, I beg to differ, because my Scriptures tell me something different. If you take the name of Christ and you profess His name, then there is a duty that lies upon us all, that we ought to order our lives according to the Word of God. And not as many aspects and not as many facets. What is the general duty laid upon every child of God? It is to live holy lives. Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, said, "This is the will of God, even your sanctification." To live holy lives. And I know today holiness is a subject that is frowned upon. Because if you talk about holiness and talking about living a holy life before God, you're marked out as some strange individual, some oddball, some hermit. No, you're not. A holy person is the most happy person on God's earth. A person who's living their life in obedience and command to the Word of God is the happiest person alive. It's when you wander from that, and it's when you wander from the Word of God, that's when the misery comes. Can I say to any maybe here today without Christ, who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's a duty laid upon you today, and that is to call upon God in faith and repentance for salvation. You need to come and be saved. You need to leave your sin, forsake your sin, and come today and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And for all who are saved, there is a duty that is laid upon us all, and that is to live holy lives before Almighty God. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me that. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. Here were a people who loved the Scriptures. Here were a people who longed after the Scriptures. They longed to be fed on the Word of God. God give it to us all. May we not just simply read the Scriptures, but may we search and study the Word of God. What is God saying to us? What demands does the Word of God lay upon us? And then when we've discovered all of that, then go and do the Word of God. Last Lord's Day morning, we had the opportunity of being in the Tron Church, the church where Megan and Innes were married. The minister there made a most powerful statement that has been on my mind every day this past week. He's going through the book of Deuteronomy. And he was speaking about the law of God and the demands that were laid upon the people of God to live a holy life. But it was all preceded by the great redemptive work of Christ. And he said this, our demands from God are always based on the deeds of Christ for us. What Christ has done for us in redeeming our souls, then on the basis of that, God demands certain things of us. And that is to live a holy life. And on the basis of what Christ has done for us, dear believer, today, we are to live holy lives before Him. Based on Christ's deeds for us, then there are demands from us. You say today, but I don't want to live a holy life. I want to live my own life. Well, if that's the case, then you're living in rebellion to God. If you don't really appreciate and fully understand all that Christ has done for you in saving your soul and redeeming your soul, if you don't fully understand that, then you will never fully live your life in accordance to the Word of God. Dear believer, today, based on the goodness of God, and these people were reminded of how good God had been in the past, based on that, they were to live holy, acceptable lives before God. The Word of God does place a duty upon us. The Scriptures do place demands upon us. And we must live our lives according to God's Word, whether it be popular or whether it be not. God give us such a desire and such a longing and such a love for God's holy word that no matter what the opinion might be, or no matter what the prevailing fashions and notions of this age might be, that we're going to live our lives according to God's holy word. Let's bow in prayer.